We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, 2 blocks north of 520, 2 blocks west of Courtney Parkway on Merritt Island. We're brand new to the area. We've been there since 1952. it's been there a long time. I've been there a long time. I'm coming up on my 23rd anniversary here in December of being pastor of the church, and we are just so thankful for all that God has done. So we would like to extend an invitation to you to come and be a part of our church. If you do not have a church home, you need a church home. Find a church home where they preach the word of God. Find a church home that has a standard of holiness, that believes in repentance, and that God does have a plan for your life, that it is a good plan. And so we'd like to invite you out to be a part of that. When you come, I could show you the handiwork of Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. They have done some fabulous work around our property, and we would just love to show you. If you've got block work, concrete work that needs to be done, come and check out their skill and their craftsmanship. Listen, they did a beautiful, beautiful job on the project we asked them to do. They did better than what I dreamed, and I wasn't even there when it was done, because I was away celebrating my parents' anniversary at the time. I came back and it was like, man, that is really, really nice. They did a marvelous job. So if they can help you out with some concrete work, give them a call, 536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. We want to extend an invitation to join us this coming Sunday. We have Sunday morning service, Sunday night service. We have 3 Sunday school classes that are available. We have plenty of seats available. We would just love for you to come and join us as we worship the King. We've been continually making some renovations and improvements. We continue to move forward with all that God has for us to do. And we would just love for you to come and be a part of the growth that God is bringing to Merritt Assembly of God. So we've got 2 more broadcasts that we're going to do here on Joseph today and tomorrow. So if you have enjoyed this, I hope it has been a blessing to you. But I'm going to take you back to Genesis chapter 50 this morning. Genesis chapter 50. And it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So yesterday I was talking about people not getting complacent where they were and staying or getting stuck in a place that is going to actually enslave them later on. So today I want to talk to you about the reconciliation that took place with the brothers here, because there are some things that you don't do with your brothers and sisters when your parents are watching. If anybody out there had any siblings, you know what I'm talking about. When mom and dad are around, you are on your best behavior. I was the oldest brother. Not all of my behavior towards my brothers and sister were exactly exemplary behavior. Wasn't real bad, but there are some things that I could have done better. When I think about how people respond whenever there's an authority figure there, I get a humorous thought that comes to mind when Paul in the book of Acts goes to the temple in Jerusalem, and he gets arrested, and everybody is surrounding him, and they start beating him, and there's a riot that's breaking out, and the centurion starts running with an entire entourage of men. And when they get there, Paul is all bloodied and bruised and beaten. And everybody, in my mind, I just get a picture of everybody putting their hands around their back and looking up to the sky and just whistling and say, "Oh my goodness, what happened to him?" And, you know, in the meantime, they got bloody knuckles and open wounds and blood splatter all over their garments. And you know, but the authority is there. And, "Officer, we don't have any idea how that happened to him." And the brothers are kind of thinking, "Uh-oh, now the authority figure is out of the way. Dad has died, and Joseph is now going to get his vengeance. He's going to repay us." Now listen, it has been a long, long time. It's been over three decades since they sold Joseph as a slave into Egypt. There's a lot of events that have transpired during that time. And yet, still 3 decades later, even though they've already had the one reconciliation before everybody moved to Egypt, the brothers are saying, "Uh-oh, Dad's out of the way, and Joseph is going to repay us for what he did." And so they make up this story, and I guess they fabricated a lot of stories back then, but they go to Joseph with this story and said, "Hey, Dad wanted to make sure that you didn't treat us badly. We know that we did evil to you. We know that we did you wrong, but we ask that you forgive," that Jacob wanted us forgiven. And it says that Joseph, when he heard it, he wept. And verse number 17, "And Joseph wept when they spoke to him." 3 decades they had lived with him. He was the most powerful person in all of Egypt. And I can't tell you exactly the reason why he wept. It's not recorded there. But I believe he wept because even after all that time, they still did not know Joseph. They still really didn't appreciate who he was, how he did business, how he operated. And so they're still living in fear and anxiety. And I will tell you that if you are living in fear and anxiety and apprehension, that's a horrible lifestyle to lead. It eventually causes health issues to arise in your body. I want you to know God does not want you living in fear. He wants you living in power. He wants you living in love. And he wants you operating with a sound mind, not a mind that is delusional because of fear. Fear will paralyze you from acting, but God wants to empower you to act. And so Joseph, I believe he wept because they really did not know who he was. I was having a conversation with someone here not too long ago, and they were sharing a story about a person in their life, and they said, "Man, I really didn't know that person. I hear some stories, but I really didn't know them. There, I had a pastor that I worked for at one point in time, and he said when they came to Peter when Jesus had been arrested and he was on trial all night, and Peter said, "I don't know the man." He was saying, I believe at that time, Peter really didn't know. I mean, he knew the one who could calm the waters. He knew the one that could heal the sick and raise the dead and open blind eyes and open deaf ears, cause gold coins to appear. He said, this guy that you've just been able to walk in here and rest, I don't know that man. And, you know, sometimes there is a disparity between the people or the person that people know and the reality of the person. But Joseph was, I believe he was weeping that day and saying, after 3 decades of me taking care of you, do you still not know that I have moved past the hurt? I've moved past the wound. I'm not going to allow that event from 30 years ago to dictate my future, and it's certainly not going to impact our relationship. And so he wept, and his brothers come, and he's listen to this. This kind of ties in with yesterday's. Behold, we are your servants. They came back to Egypt, and they said, we'll just be your servants. You know, we know that we did you wrong and all that sort of stuff. And Joseph said, do not be afraid. And again, if you read the scripture, you're going to find that phrase a lot. Do not be afraid. Be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Forget this. For am I in the place of God? If you are walking around, and I'm going to talk to Christians here right now. If you are walking around and you are looking for vengeance, if you are looking to make the books right according to your eyes, Joseph said that in order to do that, you are putting yourself in God's place. There's a scripture that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And Joseph is basically telling them the same thing. He said, look, I am not going to touch what belongs to God. I'm not going to do it. That, how God treats you, how God ministers to you, that is between you and God. But as for me, I am going to love on you. I am going to give you my best. Today, if you are a vindictive person, if you are a person of spite, if that's who you are, then I want you to know that you have actually put yourself in God's place. You have moved him off of the throne so that you could get there. And listen, if we do not forgive people, the reality is Jesus says that he will not forgive us. I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to be in that place. I want to just go ahead and say, hey, God, you know what? I forgive them. Some people say, well, how can you forgive them if they haven't repented? That's their responsibility. It's not my responsibility. Now, until they repent, and if I've forgiven them, there's not going to be any reconciliation there because there is no unity there, you know. But if the person repents and I don't forgive them, there can't be a reconciliation there either. But what if the Holy Spirit moves on both people's hearts and says, I forgive you to the person that's been offended, and the Holy Spirit brings the other person and says, I repent for the treatment. The brothers here are saying, we should not have treated you as badly as we did. And now Joseph has the privilege of extending a gift to his brothers that can only come from a person who is reconciled to God, who has appreciated the ministry that God has in their life. And Joseph says, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? I tell people all the time, I'm thankful that I'm not God. You should be thankful that I'm not God. If I was God, I would do things differently than he does at times. There would be times where God has extended mercy and forgiveness, and I'm saying, what's that up all about? You know, I look at Ahab in the Word of God, and And God said, have you noticed how Ahab has repented before me and had a change of heart? I'm going to treat him differently because of how he has repented. I'm also thankful that you're not God, because there's a lot of people who spoke words over me that God didn't speak, and I'm so thankful God had a different message than they did. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. Make no mistake about it. I understand where you were 30 years ago is you did me harm. You intended for evil to come my way. And then it says, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Does that mean that God was in charge of Joseph being sold as a slave? No, that's not what it means at all. Just because God is God over the event does not mean that God was endorsing the process. God has ways of bringing things about, that only he opens doors that only he could open. So I want you to know that God was not giving his stamp of approval to their enslaving their brother and selling their brother and causing grief to their father and causing Benjamin to live, not knowing his big brother or any of that sort of stuff. God wasn't endorsing his behavior or their behavior. Joseph said, but he was bigger than the event. He meant it for good. If I had not ended up in Egypt, we would have all starved to death. God meant it for good. So today I want to ask you, which are you going to put more faith and trust in? Are you going to put more faith and trust in the bad things that have happened to you, or are you going to put more faith and trust in God's redemptive capabilities to bring something good out of that event? Okay? God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people. Now, I want to take you to Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And Paul writes to the Romans and says this, and we know that all things work together for good. And a lot of people stop right there. And I want you to know that if you stop right there, you get a half truth, not the whole truth. You only get a glimpse of the reality that God is wanting to share instead of the whole thing. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And that's what Joseph says. As you go back to Genesis chapter 50, God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Today, like yesterday, I proclaimed, it was a day of freedom for you. Today, I want you to know that God is bigger than your deepest hurt, than your most severe pain. God is bigger than that. Don't allow the hurt. Don't hang on to an ancient hostility. Don't nurse a grudge. I have this picture in the NIV. It talks about people who nursed a grudge. Another passage talks about people who harbored or provided safe haven for an ancient hostility. And that nursing a grudge, I picture just a person in intensive care, and the person on the table is named Grudge, and there is round-the-clock treatment being given to that individual, and there's IV fluids that are being just to keep it alive when God is wanting to kill that ancient hostility, to kill that grudge, and we keep nursing it and bringing it alive, and we keep feeding it, And God is saying, would you let me rule and reign over that? I've got a different purpose for it. I want to comfort you with this comfort in this wound so that you can comfort other people. God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. And Joseph said, the purpose, you know, the process, we missed it on the process, but God ruled and reigned in his mercy anyway. And he brought about the saving of many people's lives. You know, I believe that if it is part of the enemy's plan to get us wounded so that we will walk around hurt and victimized all of our life, so that we will not pursue God's purpose for us to bring about the redemption of many people's lives. He wants to get us sidetracked because, listen, Simon the sorcerer, Peter told him, you have no part in this ministry because I see that you are full of bitterness. There's a wound that you're carrying around, and it bitterness will disqualify you from ministry. Bitterness will prevent you from fulfilling God's highest purpose in your life. Bitterness will result in people perishing instead of being saved. So, which will you choose? Will you choose vengeance or will you choose forgiveness? Will you choose the devil's painful process or will you choose God's healing and salvation? The cross was not a pleasant journey. Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was on the other side of the cross. He said that he endured the shame and the suffering for the joy that was on the other side. Do not allow past hurts and wounds to steal from you future joy, present joy. Don't give it authority over your life. Allow God to work all things together for the good of those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Here's the reality. And it says, and he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know how you have evidence that God has won the victory in an area of your life is when all of a sudden you can see the person, you can love the person, and you can speak kindly to them. Now, I will tell you this. If you have been the offender, because most of us have been the offender and the offending. I know people who, you know, they just get really up in arms if somebody offends them, but yet it doesn't seem to faze them when they offend other people. No people like that. I know people who, you know, can be really outspoken, but they are extremely sensitive about anybody even insinuating that something might not be 100% perfect in their life. They want to tell other people about all their flaws, but don't speak to them about their flaws. There's a lot of people with sensitivity issues. So I just want to tell you, you know when God has done a work of grace in your life, because when you speak, you can speak kindly to them. What has God got to do in your heart? What is he doing for you? I want to share with you one more passage of scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings for which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. If you have offended somebody, I encourage you, go talk to God about it and say, God, would you help me to make this right? Would you give me the words to say that I can sufficiently apologize and restore this right this relationship? May it be reconciled to a godly relationship. If you have been the offended party, allow God to comfort you. Allow him to bring healing today. You know, there have been some times in my life and that I've experienced some wounds. And I'll tell you, whenever I'm hurting, I'm talking physical hurts right now, I will tell you that not one of those times did I say, man, I just wish this pain could be prolonged a little bit longer. Instead, I was saying, you know, God, today would be a really great day for healing. I wanted the pain over as soon as possible. Can we have that same mindset, that same attitude today towards the non-physical? Maybe it's the emotional or the relational wounds. There are a lot of people who carry baggage along with them for decades. Let's bring that to an end today. Let God bring healing. I'm going to pray a prayer of healing for all of us right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, first of all, God, we pray for anyone that we have offended, anyone that we've hurt or wounded. And God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would give us the boldness to make that relationship right the same way that you gave it to Joseph's brothers. God, I pray that you would help us to know you and know your heart and know that you love us in every situation we go through. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be bold enough and mature enough to go and apologize and ask for forgiveness. But Lord, I also pray that you would help us not to seek vengeance, realizing that it is your desire that none perish, but all come to everlasting life. Lord, today I pray that you would bring us to that place where we could actually reveal our heart to others. Lord, that we could reveal that we recognize that you are in control of our steps. And Lord, you have a purpose for us. You have a purpose for our lives, and that is to extend forgiveness, not seek vengeance. God, may you be on the throne today and not us. May you bring about the salvation of many lives through the listeners of this broadcast. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Walk today in forgiveness, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.